So as we start, you can turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. God gave us the book of Proverbs to teach all His children wisdom, young and old, for a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Even if you are not a child or a parent, you can and should still learn from this message. If it was not for the faithful instruction of grandparents or other mentors in the faith, some of you would not be here. I'm going to start by addressing the children. So pay attention, children. Children, you came into the world without wisdom, without knowledge, without understanding. And it's better to be taught wisdom by your parents than it is to try and learn it in the school of hard knocks, which is painful. And parents, you have been given a duty and a stewardship that is pivotal for your children. This is one of the most critical relationships that will truly have a vast impact on the rest of history. What you train your children will impact them, which will impact their children, and will impact their children. This sermon provides a call for parents to train their children in the wisdom and instruction of the Lord, and for children, it's a call for you to obey your parents and to listen to them. From Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in this sermon. I pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that would work through my mouth and that it would not be my words. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in the ears of the hearers this morning. I pray that children would see the importance of obedience to their parents, that parents would see the importance of the instruction of their children. And I pray that you would work because I am nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, children, it's important that you read God's Word, that you yourselves read God's Word, and to know that the preacher or the pastor has no authority except what is in God's Word. This means that you shouldn't believe anything just because I say so, or another preacher says so, but because it matches the teaching that is in God's Word. So I would like each child and adult who can to pull out a copy of God's Word and to follow along as we go through some of these passages. Parents, if you would like, you can help your children find the references, or you can point them to the references to the Bible on your lap. You decide what's best for your family. So now let's all open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. And I left my Bible here. So Proverbs, if you open it up, your Bible, it comes after Job and Psalms. It's near the middle of the Bible, before Jeremiah and Isaiah. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, this sermon is not part of a series, so because it's a one-off, a little bit of background and context of the book of Proverbs is going to be helpful. In 1 verse 1, we see that the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. We see that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. It was written by Solomon, the same man who wrote Ecclesiastes, where we just finished a sermon series that Pastor John did. Reading Proverbs, we can see that it was primarily written to prepare Solomon's son for manhood and to become the king of Israel. But it was also written and recorded as a model of instruction for us as parents in teaching our children. This means, children, that your parents and Mrs. Ward and I can learn from Proverbs to help us in training you. And you yourselves can read Proverbs yourselves and learn from it and learn wisdom from God's word. Now, the book of Proverbs states its own purpose in verses 2 through 6 of chapter 1. So let's read those together. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So the purpose of Proverbs is to teach wisdom and the related concepts of prudence, of instruction, understanding, knowledge, discretion, learning, righteousness, justice, and equity. These concepts are critical for having good character. One commentator says that Proverbs covers the details of character small enough to escape the mesh of the law and the broadsides of the prophets, and yet decisive in personal dealings. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 gives us the starting point and foundation of knowledge. I'll read, children, while you follow along in your Bibles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Similarly, let's turn to chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. And as we get there, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. It is the starting point and the foundation for wisdom and knowledge. It does not mean that you are always afraid of God, but that you rightly understand God, that He is awesome in power, that He is a God of justice who will punish sin. And it also means that you reverence Him as God, that you honor Him as God. So this is the first step, the foundation that must remain unshakable, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning. There is no wisdom or knowledge apart from God. Now, the first 9 chapters, starting in 1 verse 8, contain 10 messages from the Father to His Son. And it's to prepare Him to hear the Proverbs that He's giving Him in chapters 10 through 30. These Proverbs they teach wisdom are organized into several sets, and the book of Proverbs culminates in chapter 31 with a message from the mother to her son, and with the picture of the excellent wife that a wise son can look forward to. Now, the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokhmah. Some of the best commentators on Proverbs describe wisdom as a totalizing concept that seeks to bring all of life's activities into harmony with God's created order. Through wisdom, you can read circumstances and interpret situations so as to act correctly, speak properly, and respond appropriately to each situation, which will benefit yourself and others. We need wisdom to learn and live within God's created order and to properly understand Scripture and to apply it to our lives. Wisdom refers to skill to live properly within God's created order. A skill to survive in all areas of life, to thrive, to understand the workings and beauty of God's created order, and how to make good use of it. Someone who is skilled in his work is called wise. So keep your finger in Proverbs chapter 1, and let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. So that's just before Psalms and Job, before Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, we get to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Chapter 2, we'll start in verse 13. And this is the king of Tyre, and he's writing a message to King Solomon. And he says in verse 13, "Now I have sent a skilled man who has understanding, Huram Abi." Now this word skilled is hakam. It refers to a man who has wisdom. And let's see what Huram Abi's wisdom was. In verse 14, "The son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre. He is trained to work in gold, silver, bronze, iron, stone, and wood, and in purple, blue, and crimson fabrics and fine linen, and to do all sorts of engraving and execute any design that may be assigned him." So children, you can and should be wise and skilled in the work that you are trained and will do as an adult. Now turn back in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. And let's read our text together for this morning, which is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Children, the message of this text is directly to you. It's calling you to obedience and giving you the reasons for that obedience. Parents, there is direct application to you in these verses. We can all learn and grow from all parts of Scripture. Now, there's two main sections to this sermon. One, the call to the child to listen and to obey, and to persevere in the instruction of their parents. And two, the motivation or the reasons that are given for that. And there's going to be four applications for children and four applications for parents that I'm going to draw out of this text. So the first line, 1 verse 8, is part of the call to the child. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." And the first word is the Hebrew word shema, hear. We start with this command to hear the father's instruction. The majority of times the word hear is used in the Old Testament, it is referring to something that is related to an action that is to be taken. And so in Exodus, the words to Pharaoh are, "You have not listened up till now." Now, most Bibles translate that word as heard or listened, while the ESV actually interprets it as obeyed. And although Pharaoh heard the command, he did not obey. And so in the Hebrew understanding, he did not hear. He did not shema. He did not listen to what was said. He did not truly listen. So when you hear that your parents are giving you instruction, you need to listen and obey. In Proverbs 4:20 and 5:1, we read, "My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings," and, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding." This means that you are to listen carefully without distraction. A good habit and part of honoring your parents is to listen with your ears and also to listen with your eyes and with your whole body to help you not to be distracted. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." And Proverbs 7 says, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart." You see that we need to keep. You need to keep your parents' commands. You are to do them with your fingers and your body. You are to keep them in your mind and heart. You are to do what your parents say, and it is to change your life as you obey. Now, children, do you remember the parable that Jesus told of the two builders who built houses before the rains and the winds and the floods came? Remember that parable? In it, the one who hears Jesus' words and does them is like a man who built his house on what? The rock. That's right. And when the rain came down and the winds came and the floods came up, what happened to that house? It stands. Yeah, it stood strong. But the one who hears Jesus' words and does not do them, he's like a man who built his house on the sand. And what happened when the rains came up and the winds came and the floods came to that house? It crashed. Yes, that house crashed. Some of you children have memorized James this past year. So let's turn to James chapter 1. This comes after Hebrews. James chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 21. We'll read that together. I'll let you take a minute to get there. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So the first application for you children is that you must listen to your parents and you must obey what they say. For it is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. All right, now let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And read this first line again. Hear, my son. And the next words are, my son. Now, all 10 messages in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs begin with, my son. And my son is used over and over and over again in Proverbs. And it shows the urgency and the importance of the son to hear and to act on the instruction and to seek and to choose and devote himself to wisdom. This demonstrates a close bond and a fatherly pride in chapter 23 and the concern of a mother in chapter 31. This parental concern and the many calls to the son to listen, to receive, or be attentive to the father in the messages in Proverbs chapter 1 through 9 remind us of the repeated calls of Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, in the first chapters of Deuteronomy, where God is addressing his son Israel. God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. In Deuteronomy, God was speaking to Israel through Moses, in a number of messages to prepare them, in a number of statements to prepare them to become a nation and to receive the detailed laws in the later chapters of Deuteronomy. So here, in a similar structure, Solomon is preparing his son to receive his instructions in wisdom that will come later in Proverbs. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, let's read that first line again. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. The Hebrew word for instruction is musar, and it's often translated instruction, discipline, correction, or punishment. An example of proactive instruction is keep hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. Proverbs 4:13. An example of corrective discipline is the reproofs of discipline are the way of life in 6:23. And an example of physical discipline is captured in whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. 13:24. And that same word, as we saw this morning earlier, is used in Isaiah 53:5. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. So the second application for you children is that you not only hear, but you take to heart all the different types of instruction that your parents are giving you. Are they teaching you in a way that you should live? Then you should listen. Are they correcting something that you've done wrong? Listen. Are your children using the rod? Are they spanking you? Listen. Take this instruction to heart. Now, children, why is instruction important? It's important because it is your life. Proverbs 4:13. There's only two ways that you can go in this world. One, you can live within God's world wisely, or two, you can foolishly go your own way. Remember that in the beginning, God created the world. And he looked, remember what happened at the end of each day. He looked at the world, and he looked at what he had created, and he called it good. That's right. God called what he had created good. And he created all aspects of creation perfectly and orderly in wisdom. Proverbs 3:19. During creation, like a wise master workman, wisdom was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. Proverbs 8:30. God widely established truth in all areas of life. Physical, social, financial, spiritual, all areas of life God has wisely created in with his perfect order. We cannot change God's perfect wisdom. We need to live in harmony with it. We need to live according to it. And it's much better, children, that you listen to your parents and learn from them than that you go through that painful school of hard knocks. Now, children, and especially if you are under 20, children of all ages, listen. You are lacking in wisdom. You are lacking in understanding. You're lacking in knowledge. You might not think so, but you are. But you need it for successful living. God has given your parents the duty to teach, knowing that you might die for lack of instruction. Proverbs 5:23. Now that sin is in the world, and you were born with sin affecting everything, including your thinking, the world is a very dangerous place. As a professor said in one of my classes, the world is like a minefield. And when you go out into this minefield, you are going to blow yourself up after only 3 minutes if you are not listening to the wise instruction from your parents and out of God's word. Let's think about the physical world for a minute, like floors and walls. And when a baby is just learning to crawl, they might crawl and bump into a wall. And they might bump into the wall once or twice, but there's an immediate consequence for not living within God's wisdom, God's created order in the physical world. And that immediate consequence helps them to learn to live within God's wisdom right away. But God has created wisdom, well, some of the sort of the non-physical components of God's created order don't have an immediate physical consequence. And they don't have a consequence that seems like it's immediate. So disobedience to your parents, it might go unnoticed for a little while. Borrowing money, maybe, children, you get older, you get to be 16, you get your license, and you want to buy a car. Borrowing money to buy a car might not immediately feel like slavery, because there's not immediate consequences for going against God's wisdom in some areas of life. You need your parents' instruction so that you can learn wisdom. So it's important that you're listening and obeying to them. But of all the types of instruction that you're listening to, the most important is the spiritual instruction that leads to your salvation and your sanctification, so that you become more like Christ. Now, parents, the first application for you is that the spiritual state of your children must be of the highest priority. John Bunyan wrote, "First, as touching the spiritual state of his family, he, the father, should be very diligent and circumspect, doing his utmost endeavor both to increase faith where it is begun and to begin it where it is not. For this reason, he should diligently and frequently lay before his household such things of God out of his word as are suitable for each particular, and let no man question his rule in the word of God for such a practice." So, parents, the spiritual state of your children is of utmost importance. A fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and of knowledge. Now, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. And we've so far done the first line. Now we're going to read the second line. "And forsake not your mother's teaching." The word forsake means do not abandon, do not leave it behind, do not let it go. This means that you do what your parents say when they are around, and you do what your parents say when they are not around. You persevere in the teaching of your parents. Now, even if your parents don't see, you know that someone is always watching. Now, children, who sees what you are doing even when nobody else is around? God sees. Yeah, God is always seeing. He sees every little thing that you do and you think. He sees your heart even when you are not obeying in your attitudes, your parents. So children, this is a third application for you. Continue to obey always your parents' instruction, remembering to do it next week and next year. Now it says, "Do not forsake your mother's teaching, her Torah." Her teaching has the same authority and ultimate purpose. So this second line builds on the first line. Your mother's teaching has the same authority and ultimate purpose as the father's instruction. The teaching must be consistent and not contradictory. Inconsistent parents will raise up shrewd children who play their parents to get their own way. Now, children, here's a fourth application for you, especially for you young men. It's important that you obey your mother and honor your mother just as you do your father. You must obey and honor your mother the same as you do your father. And here's the second application for parents, and especially for fathers. You must make sure that your children are honoring your wife and that they are obeying your wife. And both parents, you must be ensuring that your instruction is consistent with one another. So now, from this verse, here's a word to parents. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." This points to the consistent teaching of the Bible that instruction in wisdom is primarily your task as a parent. Just as children are not to forsake your instruction, so you are to persevere in the instruction of your children. The Bible consistently teaches this. Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6:4. Now let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about what Moses taught the Israelites. So, children, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 in your Bibles. It's the fifth book of the Bible after Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 6. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Now, these words are God's commandments to his people. They are what God has done for his people. Now, in verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Your home should be saturated with the word of God. As Bodhi Bakum says, Moses saw the home as a principal delivery system for the transmittal of God's truth from generation to generation. There is no hint here or anywhere else in the Bible of the multi-generational teaching of the truths of God being abdicated by parents in favor of trained professionals. It's not Sunday school teachers or pastors who have the primary responsibility for the training of your children. It's you. So, parents, here is a third application for you. Persevere in the training of your children every day. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Proverbs 19:18. And folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Don't let laziness stop you from diligently doing the hard work of correcting and disciplining and instructing your child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Now, it's true. We must realize that this is not a promise that our children will be saved or will do what we say. But we can't use that as an excuse. It is a principle. And so, as parents, you must be diligent in the training of your children. Now, here's two notes about this application of persevering in the training of your children every day. One is that to help you in your training, use Proverbs to teach your children wisdom. Proverbs gives you a lot of wisdom that you can apply in your parenting. If you would like guidance on child training, start by reading Deuteronomy 5 and 6. Read all of Proverbs. We know that all of the law is summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. You can see this love fleshed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you can see a lot of practical applications throughout the New Testament, throughout the entire Bible. And you can look in the book of James. You can look around the church. You can identify families who are bringing up children in a way that you respect, and you can ask them for advice. You're also welcome to speak with myself or with John or with Glenn. And here's a second note. It's extremely difficult to raise up wise children if they are being taught by anti-Christian curriculum from a government and school system that is against Christ in an environment of foolish children. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, you might be in a difficult situation where getting out of the government school system, it might be very hard. But we'd like to encourage you in that, and we'd like to help you in that. So come and talk to us at any time. Parents, the fourth application for you is that because you have a high responsibility, you need to take an active role in the training of your children. And fathers, you're gone to work every day. It's important to you, fathers, that you take an active role in the training of your children. If you are not fulfilling your role as a father, someone or something else will. Okay, so let's move to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. So turn back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. And here's the motivation. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Now, children, you might not care to have a wreath or a garland on your head, but
A wreath on the head at that time symbolized power. It symbolized victory over enemies. It symbolized life and prestige and high social status. And so what Solomon is saying is that there's many and great blessings for listening and persevering in obedience to your parents. It's a common theme throughout Scripture. Your parents' instruction will lead, it will watch over and talk with you, because the teaching is a light and reproofs of discipline are the way of life in Proverbs 6. Paul quotes the fifth commandment when he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Ephesians 6, 1-3. Children, your parents want you to be successful. They are teaching you wisdom so that you can experience God's blessing and enjoy the good things in life. Your parents want to protect you from chasing an illusion of the good life that will never satisfy and will only result in pain and suffering. Some of the other benefits of listening to your parents' instruction and obeying their teaching are found in chapter 3. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. When you walk, your step will not be hindered, will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. And 3 verse 24, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Listening and obeying to the wise teaching of your parents will bless you in general with a long life and with peace and with confidence in the face of hard circumstances, which is important now. We are in the face of hard circumstances. It's let up a little bit in the last 6 months or so, but we are still in the face of hard circumstances. And your parents' teaching from Scripture will give you confidence in the face of this. It's going to protect you from destroying yourself and from being destroyed by evil men and immoral women. Now, are these blessings not enough to motivate you to listen and persevere in your parents' teaching? Later in chapter 1, there's a warning that foolish sons who join evil men will destroy themselves. You may be rejected and destroyed, and it will be too late. Let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24-33. Because I have called, and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. This is wisdom speaking. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease, without dread of disaster. In Romans chapter 1, Paul also warns of the same kind of thing, that ungodly men who suppress the truth are given up by God to their own ways, resulting in futile thinking and foolish, darkened hearts. Now, children, you don't want to end up with foolish, darkened hearts. An example of rejecting wisdom in our own culture that we see around us is how men and women have decided to reject God's wisdom in what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. Our culture doesn't know what it means to be a man or a woman. And they're taking away, instead of helping them, they're taking away the dignity of women and the honor of men. And they're giving them confusion instead. Okay, so now that's a very obvious example of turning away from wisdom in our culture. But let's talk about something a little closer to home, children. Are you deceiving your parents in any way? Are you deceiving or being unkind, and unrepentant and unkind to your brothers and sisters? Do you say that you have done something when you haven't? Do you, maybe especially if you're a little bit older, do you despise the wisdom and the instruction of your parents? If you carry on in that path, you will be destroyed. It will bring hard consequences. So repent and listen and love the instruction of your parents. If you persist in rejecting God's wisdom, you will be handed over to a debased mind and a foolish, darkened heart, so that even if you look for wisdom, you will not find it. And instead, your own complacency will kill you. Poverty, being poor, poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction. Now, parents, the wisdom or the foolishness of your children also affects you. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. Let that sink in. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, grief to his mother. If you raise a fool, be warned. A foolish son is ruin to his father. Proverbs 19:13, and bitterness to her who bore him, 17:25. You call your children to wisdom not only because it is critical for your children, but also because the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. 23:4, and for an excellent mother, her children rise up and call her blessed. 31:28. Now, in conclusion, children, this is a high standard that you are being called to. All sin is foolishness. And I know that as a child, while I often obeyed, I did disobey. And I did act foolishly. And so I know what it feels like to realize that I have acted foolishly. And parents, I understand what it feels like to see my own sin reflected in my children, or to realize that the sin that I see in my children is because of some area of parenting that I did not do or that I did not do right. If we were to measure ourselves by the standard of God's wisdom in Proverbs, or by his perfect standard in Jesus Christ that has been revealed to us, we would find ourselves utterly foolish and unworthy. If that's how we measure ourselves, we would be utterly foolish and unworthy. But for those of you who recognize your foolishness and call out to Jesus to rescue you from your sin, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no man might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the greater than Solomon, Luke 11:31. He is the wisdom from God. And if you are in Christ and have repented and trusted him and follow him, he is your wisdom. Christ is your righteousness. He is your sanctification and your redemption, and he works through you. Children, are any of you lacking wisdom? And you are. Parents, anybody, everyone, are you lacking in wisdom? And you are. Do what James says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James 1:5. Study his word, which is full of wisdom. But if you are not in Christ and are still dead in your sin, call out to Christ, who is the wisdom from God, repenting of your sin and trusting in him, and he will give you himself. He will be your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification and redemption, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. By receiving the implanted word and persevering, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, we will be blessed. And I'm going to close with the words of the hymn that we're going to sing. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though his footsteps waver, his faithful Lord is walking by his side. Oh, give us homes with godly mothers and fathers who always place their hope and trust in him, whose tender patience turmoil never bothers, whose calm and courage trouble cannot dim. A home where each finds joy in serving others, and love still shines, though dark, though days be dark and grim. Oh, give us homes where Christ is Lord and Master, the Bible read, the precious hymns still sung, where prayer comes first in peace or in disaster, and praise is natural speech to every tongue, where mountains move before a faith that's vaster, and Christ sufficient is for old and young. O Lord our God, our homes are thine forever. We trust to thee their problems, toil and care, their bonds of love no enemy can sever, if thou art always Lord and Master there. Be thou the center of our least endeavor, be thou our guest, our hearts and homes to share.